Hi, my name is Jenna.
Hi, my name is Jamal.
And today in our podcast, we're going to talk about slut shaming and rape culture.
A warning, the content discussed in this podcast is explicit and should be treated in a serious matter. For the people who don't know what slut shaming is a form of bullying where girls are targeted for their sexuality, the way they dress, or the way they look. And it could happen in real life, or it could happen online. Online, it's considered cyberbullying. And social media is primarily used to slut shame, as well as interaction. And sometimes the schools also play into slut shaming by putting restrictive dress codes. Like, girls get penalized for showing too much skin, while boys have a little bit more freedom. And the common excuse that the schools give is that the girls have to dress a certain way in order to not distract the boys, which is called victim blaming. And there's a huge double standard at where, like, boys get praised for sex and then women get labeled as, like, sluts or whores or doing the exact same thing. And the effect that slut shaming has on females is detrimental because it affects both psychologically and physically. They affect psychologically because it lowers self-esteem, it causes them to constantly think about their self-image, can cause depression, anxiety, and even in extreme cases, thoughts of suicide. And it can affect them physically by developing eating disorders or them harming themselves as a way to cope for slut shaming.
Every 98 seconds, someone is sexually assaulted in the United States. So rape culture, it is an environment in which rape is prevalent and in which sexual violence against women is normalized and excused in the media and pop culture. The controversy regarding rape culture relates to this idea of he said, she said. Sometimes females make false accusations of rape, which can ruin someone's life because at the end of the day, it's his versus her word, and more than likely, they will side with the female. Some excuses to justify rape have been, she asked for it, boys will be boys, sexually explicit jokes, inflating false rape report statistics, defining manhood as dominant and sexually aggressive, defining womanhood as submissive and sexually passive, but all of these are invalid. When a woman gets raped, she goes to the emergency room to seek medical attention.
When she seeks the medical attention, is there any test or form or way the doctors can figure out who the rapist is?
A doctor or nurse will conduct the 4 to 6 hour examination and will preserve this evidence in a sexual assault evidence kit, which is a rape kit. In a rape kit, there is detailed instructions for the examiner, forms for documenting the procedure and evidence gathered, tubes and containers for blood and urine samples, paper bags for collecting clothing and other physical evidence, swabs for biological evidence collection, a large sheet of paper on which the victim undresses to collect hairs and fibers, dental floss and wooden sticks for fingernail scrapings, glass slides, and then how they proceed doing this. First, the examiner obtains a thorough medical history from the victim. The victim stands on a large sheet of paper while undressing in order to catch any hair or fiber evidence that may fall from her or his body. The victim's clothing and the sheet are collected for testing of hairs, fibers, and any additional evidence. During the physical examination, any injuries from the attack are documented and treated, and evidence is collected. The examiner collects biological evidence such as saliva, blood, semen, urine, skin cells, and hair by taking swabs of the victim's skin, genitalia, anus, and mouth, scraping under the victim's fingernails, and combining through the victim's hair. The victim's body is photographed head to toe to preserve evidence of bruising and injuries. When the rape kit examination is complete, the evidence collected is carefully packaged and labeled to prevent contamination.
To better put rape culture in perspective, I have a story. In Steubenville, Ohio, two teenagers were convicted of raping a 16-year-old female. Trent Mays, 17, who was a quarterback, was sentenced to at least 2 years in the state juvenile system, and the other person, who was Malik Richmond, was 16 and was the wide receiver for the team, and was sentenced to at least serve 1 year in the juvenile system. Both teens could serve up until they were 21 years old at the discretion of the state. what had happened was that the 16-year-old girl had gotten so drunk where she lacked the cognitive ability to even give consent. And what had happened is they had raped her repeatedly, and Trent Mace took a photo of her nude and passed out and uploaded it to social media, which she found, and he also got charged with it as well. And he also tried to orchestrate a cover-up by trying to involve one of his friends. He told his friend to say, just say she came to your house and passed out. She tried to cover this up because he didn't want it to affect his football career. And he even went as far as to try to plead with the girl not to press charges because he knew this would end his football career completely. After the rapes had occurred, the victim recalled waking up the next morning, not knowing how she got there, where her clothes are, where her belongings were. And in court, there were a couple of texts that were presented between Mr. Trent Mays and the victim. And the one of the texts that Trent sent to the girl after it happened was, "This is the most pointless thing. I'm going to get in trouble for something I should be getting thanked for." What he means by that is he was trying to get her to believe that he was taking care of her when in actuality he was the rapist. And because the girl was very smart and was very brave, and the fact that she knew he was lying, her 2-hour testimony got them convicted. Society's pressure on males and females leads individuals to do regrettable things which should not have been done in the first place. And if society does not put so much pressure on males to act a certain way or females to act a certain way, some of these things could be completely avoided.
Going off of that, it brings us to the next topic that we have read in class and discussed.
The Mask You Live In is a documentary by the representationproject.org. And the documentary sheds light on society's hypermasculine narrative. The idea of what it is to be a man puts unnecessary pressure on the males of younger generations. The constant pressure of adhering to society's idea of what it is to be a man, like finding a partner, is one of society's expectations, as well as being reserved and not showing emotion, as well as being the man of the house. Those are all society's expectation, and this puts pressure on the younger generation of males to constantly try and fit into these expectations of what it is to be a man, but it leaves out room for expression and causes boys to conform to society's expectations as opposed to their own.
I'm here with Alexa from Las Positas, and we're going to talk about her own experience about slut shaming. So, do you know what slut shaming is?
Yeah, I see it a lot here on campus. It's like, I would define it as when guys mostly, sometimes girls, will pick on a girl's personality traits, often what she wears or how she acts, and call her a slut and use it as a bad way, and use slut as a term to oppress the girl and to attack her.
All right, have you experienced any slut-shaming remarks directed towards you?
Personally, I haven't, but I definitely see it a lot around campus.
All right, have you witnessed any slut-shaming to a peer or a friend or even a family member?
Yeah, I have friends all the time who, you know, maybe wear a little bit of short shorts or their skirt's a little short and guys will say something, or they're wearing crop tops and guys will say something. It happens all the time.
All right, how do you think slut-shaming affects college students on a college campus, girls specifically?
I think it definitely affects girls a lot. It makes them kind of double think or second guess what they're going to wear, how they're going to act when they go out. I think we see it a lot in like rape cultures. Guys will push the blame onto the girl for what she's wearing or how she was acting to make it seem like it's the girl's fault. It's really just another tool to oppress women.
All right, last question. Do you think people get away with slut-shaming more on a college campus or on a high school campus?
Definitely college. With the bigger atmosphere and the bigger, like, student body, I think it's a lot easier for it to just be pushed under the rug.
All right, thank you, Alexa. In conclusion, rape culture and slut-shaming is prevalent in society due to society's narrow-minded idea of what it means to be a female or male. To combat that, you need to treat people to no expectation. Well, what does treat people to no expectation mean?
Treating people to no expectation is the idea that you can be whatever you want. If females shouldn't be held to society's narrow-minded idea of what it is to be a woman, and the same goes for males.